You know, sadly, I remember very little of what I was taught in seminary. Anyone here go through professional training and remember much of anything about it? Right? Here today, gone tomorrow. Very sad. Although I'm not sure if that's a good thing or a bad thing. That's even sadder. I do remember one thing that the professor from my pastoral care class said. He said that we should always remember that at the heart of any pastoral care issue, that is, any time someone is seeking pastoral advice, to remember that the need for forgiveness is at its heart. And any chaplain would tell you the same thing in cases where a death has or is soon to happen. I guess that's just basic human nature. Now, hospital chaplain Karen Albert, who's no stranger to dealing with people who are facing tough times in their lives, or in the life of someone they love, she puts that need for forgiveness this way. She writes, "All of us have things in our hearts that can leave us convinced that we are somehow unforgivable, unqualified, cut off from the full measure of inheritance that God has for us. Maybe it's something like an abortion that happened a long time ago that we'd rather leave buried. Maybe it's a long-term struggle with a particular sin or way of thinking that we feel we should have overcome by now. Maybe it's just a case of terminal uniqueness, that very subtle feeling that we are somehow the only creature in God's whole creation who can't be forgiven. The problem is, for whatever the reason, the suspicion that there is something in our souls that is unforgivable, leaving us with hearts of stone. As long as we're convinced we can't be forgiven, we cut ourselves off. As long as we labor under a load of shame and condemnation, our effectiveness in the kingdom continues to be cut short. But that shame and condemnation is a lie. It's the wedge the enemy uses to come between us and God, to try to abort the plans God has for us. The truth of the matter is, it's not our place to decide whether or what or how much God forgives. That's God's choice. You know, I think she's got human nature just about right, don't you? And we recently watched the 2012 movie Argo with Ben Affleck. I don't know if any of you saw that movie. It's the story of six Americans in Tehran after the American embassy is overrun, who were hidden in the Canadian embassy, and for a very long and convoluted series of events, you have to watch the movie, they're smuggled out of Tehran moments before the Iranian authorities finish painstakingly piecing back together shredded documents that reveal their true identity. Good movie. And it brings us to a good point to remember. Now, on the eve of the takeover of the U.S. Embassy in Iran back in 79, American officials desperately fed secret documents into the embassy's paper shredders, and then they departed. And over the next several months, the Iranians painstakingly pieced every single one of those documents back together. Can you believe that? And they published the piece back together intelligence files. Even with state-of-the-art, high-tech paper shredders like they had, their efforts at destruction and deletion amounted to failure. Couldn't delete it all, couldn't delete it permanently. Shortly after the infamous Enron story broke back in 2001, if you remember Enron, Jay Leno joked, "Enron is now officially out of the energy business. They're now in a new business, confetti." Flash forward to today. We don't deal so much with paper anymore, do we? Yeah, we shred some stuff, but not everything. Now it's computer files. And as everyone knows, just because you delete a file, it doesn't mean it's gone forever, right? A good forensic guy can recover just about anything you thought you had deleted for good. You know, there are times in our personal lives when we want to, what we most want to do is hide something we did or said or wrote, to shred it into oblivion so that no one can ever discover it, to double delete it if there's such a thing. Not so easily done, is it? That's the stuff that haunts politicians and celebrities years after they make the big time, right? There's always somebody coming out with something. And those carefully buried secrets refuse to stay buried. Just like my beloved zombies, huh? To completely, absolutely, and irrevocably delete, destroy, and demolish is impossible. It doesn't matter if we're talking about crime scene evidence, records, files, books, art, people, cities, cultures, languages, or sins. Doesn't matter if it's hard data, digital data, personal foolishness. It's darn near impossible to erase mistakes or crimes or sins and leave behind no trace at all. Cursed forensic scientists, right? Now, there are ways to avoid the problem. We can live perfectly pure and peaceful lives in the first place and have nothing to hide. Do no wrong. Always and in every way behave flawlessly. Say nothing wrong, never lie, never hurt with words, never speak before thinking, maybe never speak at all. Think nothing wrong, keep our thoughts wholesome, our minds upright, and our imaginations unused. Perhaps not thinking at all is best. Commit no offense or transgression, keep the slate clean, keep the hard drive empty, be perfect like our Father in heaven is perfect. Like that's going to happen, right? Anyone fall into that category? Even if we haven't lied about the existence of billions of dollars or tried to cover up the details of decades of espionage in our personal lives, we all sin. Big ones, little ones, and we do so every day. It's a given. It's the way it is. It's the way we are. And it's part of our humanness. It's as if our souls themselves are like a storage device that endlessly and effortlessly records all of our thoughts and all of our actions over a lifetime. The good, the bad, the beautiful, the ugly, for permanent playback to God. And as a constant reminder to us as well, anyone play back your worst moment tapes in the middle of the night? There just isn't anywhere to hide. There isn't any deletion program on earth that can obliterate that. Human beings, all of us, are born with an advanced and natural capacity to mess up, to hurt each other, to fall victim to our own self-desires. We tend to buy into whatever supports our own self-image. We adore our desires, our addictions, and our jealousies. In short, we readily and easily fall into temptation and love those seven deadly sins in all of their glory. Gluttony, lust, envy, pride, wrath, greed, sloth. On our own, we can't undo our sinful deeds. Alone, we can't reinitialize our souls back to zero. We can't erase, delete, or destroy our life record. The data is never lost and the facts are never destroyed. There's no Fifth Amendment we can plead because God sees all and hears all and knows all. No sin, public or private, is missed by God. What's done is done. The record is made. The information is there. Sin and its consequence can't be covered up or ignored. Even Paul, in the best and brightest of his time, had his own struggles. In his letters, he tells us that his spirit was willing, but his flesh is weak, like ours is weak. He had his troubles that led him to sin. He had that thorn in his side, which he talked about. He knew how he should behave, and Paul knew how to live the good and holy life. Don't you all know how you should be living? But he found himself doing the opposite, just like us. He puts it this way in Romans, "So I find it to be a law that when I want to do what is good, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inmost self, but I see in my members another law at war with the law of my mind, making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will rescue me from this body of death? So what do? We can't avoid sin. We can't bury sin. We can't delete sin. We can't destroy sin. Downer sermon, Mike, huh? We need to hear the rest of the story as Paul tells it. He answers the question of who will rescue us from this body of death by saying, "Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord." God gives each one of us a get out of jail free card. It's called grace through Christ. It's simple to accept forgiveness through Christ as God's greatest gift to us. Here is the good news: Jesus Christ himself, the one of whom Paul says, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. When you go home today, read this first piece of the book of Ephesians, which we'll be in for a while. Read that first book, because Paul is breathless as he is telling us all of the things we have in Christ Jesus. What we can't do for ourselves, Christ can do for us. Christ will delete and destroy every evidence of sin if we only ask. Christ is our hope and freedom, the one who can erase every trace of sin. Christ came to make God our friend by granting us forgiveness for those who choose to believe, and it is a choice. Accept in your hearts this offering of God's forgiveness, this gift. No matter what your personal history of damaged relationships, no matter deeds done or deeds left undone, no matter words said or left unsaid, no matter the wounding of hearts or minds or bodies or souls, your own or others, Christ is the hope for the hopeless. This promise Paul reminds the Ephesians of: our sins will be forgiven by God by love of our Creator through Christ. God through Christ has this power to completely, absolutely, and totally delete and destroy our sins and forgive us our trespasses, because we can't do it alone. So people of God, have hope in your hearts. No matter what you've done, no matter what you've said or thought or written, have hope in Christ. I need to hear that, and I need to believe that. And you need to hear it, and you need to believe it too, once and for all. So repeat after me: I am forgiven. And that comes with a big amen, doesn't it? Amen. Hallelujah.